Good morning to everybody that's watching on Facebook Live, and we appreciate you joining us, and I hope you're doing good today. And we miss those that are sick. Hope you're feeling better, and we pray for you today. So let that be the beginning of something good for you. So we miss you, and for those that are just watching, happen to stop by, amen. Lord bless you, and I hope God says something is said today from the Lord through this pastor that will just speak to your heart today. But today I want to share with you about the second attribute of God. Last week I started talking about one of three attributes of God. And the first one I talked about was God's omnipotence, which means what? God is all-powerful. Mm-hmm. How do you find out that God is powerful? He is, isn't he? He has all authority, the Bible says, all power. He can do anything. That's why we pray for needs. That's why we pray for the sick, because God has the power, not us, but it's the power of God working through us that God will utilize to meet people's needs. But today I'm going to talk about a second attribute, and it's another one of those omni words, which omni means what? You remember what I told you last week? Omni means all. Y'all remember that? Omni means all. All things, right? All power. Today I want to talk about his omniscience, which means all knowledge. God has all knowledge. Aren't you glad God knows everything? You know, there's this old saying that knowledge is power. And it's true, in a sense. I mean, ask educators today. Ask those that teach in a school to have knowledge is a powerful tool that you can utilize to what? Teach other people. You know, I believe that in the church and in the biblical realm, we need to have knowledge of who God is. We don't just need to know about God. We need to know God. And I believe God wants us to know him, and God wants us to understand him. If knowledge is power, then that explains why our God is all-powerful and all-knowing, right? Amen. God is powerful because he has all knowledge. Amen. You know, Jesus, when he walked on the earth, he knew everything that was taking place in people's lives. I mean, when people came to him about their needs, he already knew what it was, but he would ask them, you know, what is it that you have need of? Do you believe that I can take? He already knew this. You know, God knows everything about your life. Did you know that? He does. So why not go ahead and just be honest with him about it, right? Why not just go ahead and ask him and tell him? Because he knows it, and if he knows it, he has the power to do something about it. You see, omniscience is the state of knowing everything. It's unlimited knowledge. You know, we could probably say Jesus, and maybe you know some people that were kind of in this realm, but I think we can honestly say Jesus, he's a know-it-all. Anybody ever know some people that were kind of like know-it-alls? You know, it's like they had an answer for everything. They knew something about, a little bit about everything. Maybe you know some people, but I can tell you today, I know somebody that knows it all. And amen, he's more than able. He knows everything about our church. He knew everything that was going to happen to us over this last year and a half to 2 years. He knew all these things. You see, the word omniscience, that's O-M-N-I, and I'm sorry we don't have it up today because of our projector, but O-M-N-I, that's omni. Shunts is S-C-I-E-N-T. The word omniscience comes from two Latin words, which omni signifies all, and shunts signifies knowledge. And when we say that God is where you came from, God hasn't forgotten your prayer request. God hasn't forgotten what you've asked him for, what you're in need of. He hasn't forgotten about anything. God hasn't forgotten what the enemy has tried to do to you. God does not have to reason things out. He doesn't have to find out things or learn them gradually, because God knows everything that has happened and everything that will happen. I love that, right? God knows everything that has happened and everything that will happen in your life, in our earth, in our nation, in our church. God also knows every potential thing that might happen. You see, God knows all the different scenarios of how things could happen in your life. Maybe depending on how you respond to that situation. He knows, even knows those things that humankind has yet to discover. You know, friends, I don't believe mankind knows it all. I don't believe that we've discovered it all. You know, we're constantly exploring space, aren't we? And we're getting further and further out there. But, you know, there is so much about the beautiful, vast expanse of God's creation that we don't know. We figured out how the earth rotates on its axis, and how many days, how many hours it takes for it to go around, and how many days it takes for it to go around the sun. And we figured out a lot of things, but there's so much that we don't know. God knows those things, though. This knowledge of God is absolute and unacquired. You know, God didn't go to school. He didn't take some kind of special course to know all things. It was His from the beginning because He's God. And God has always been. So the omniscience of God means that He has perfect knowledge, perfect understanding, and perfect wisdom how to apply what He knows. You see, God just doesn't know everything. He knows how to apply everything He knows. We know how to be good servants, but doing and knowing is two different things, right? God doesn't want us just to be understanders. God wants us to be doers of the word. Know what to do, but do what we know what to do. Sheila Olenwine, in an article titled, Five Reasons to Rejoice That Our God is Omniscient. She said, God's omniscience means that He can never learn anything new. Nothing can surprise Him or take Him unaware. I love that. He is never blindsided. You will never hear God say, I didn't see that coming. You'll never hear God say, well, who would have thought about that? You see, a firm belief in God's omniscience gives the follower of Christ extraordinary peace, security, and comfort in every area of life. I'll be honest with you, we were on a cruise this past week, and it was nice. There was one day when the water was a little rough, I'll be honest with you, and we were actually pushing ahead of a hurricane that was coming in from somewhere down in the southwest of Mexico, South America, and as we left Cozumel heading back, that water was doing some of this on that boat. Thank the Lord it wasn't doing this. But you know, you'd be walking, and it's kind of like, you know, you'd be kind of stumbling like, well, I don't know what that feels like, but you know what I'm saying. But it's just a weird feeling, not knowing sometimes what's taking place around you. I don't understand all the outworkings of a boat. I don't understand how that boat stays afloat. I mean, yeah, I know there's scientific explanation. I know there are people that work and maintain. There are captains of that ship that guide and direct, and they all know the different things about knots of wind and the depth of the water and how to push forward or what direction to go in. But I do know this, that even when I don't know what's happening, I can have a peace in God. Amen. A security and a comfort in my life, knowing that God is in control. Aren't you glad, friends, that even when the waves of life are a little rough, you can have the comfort to know that God is still in control? Can we say the last year and a half has been some rough waves? I can say it. Maybe about your life. Maybe you can think of some things in your life in the last year or two. You say, Pastor, man, there's been some rough days in my life. And the waves have been high and low. I feel like I've been on a roller coaster ride out in the middle of the ocean. But in the midst of all that, I have this security and knowledge that I'm at peace with because God is still in control. So that's a reason to rejoice today. You can rejoice knowing that God is in control of every circumstance of your life. He knows everything that's going on around you, and He knows everything that's going on in you. You know, when you're filled with doubt and anxiety or fear, when you're struggling with things in your own personal life, you can have a peace knowing that God is faithful to take care of those things for you and that nothing catches Him by surprise. Let me just ask you some questions today, if you don't mind. Maybe three or four questions today about omniscience. And here's the first one. What does God know? Well, Psalms 147:5 says, how great is our Lord. His power is absolute. His understanding is beyond comprehension. Can I tell you what God does know? Everything. He knows everything. And I know I've already said that. He knows everything about everything. So you don't have to be afraid or worried because God already knows everything, right? You don't have to try to figure it out yourself. I know that God wants us to do our part, right? He does. God wants us to be involved with what He is doing. But can I tell you this? God already knows everything. He has the answer to everything. He has a plan for everything. And the Bible says He's working everything out together for our good, right? You know, even bad things, God can work that out for our good. God can turn around what was meant for our evil and turn it around for our good because God knows everything. You know, the devil doesn't surprise God with his attacks or temptations. He doesn't surprise God when he comes at you with fear or worries. God already knows these things. And God knows how to deal with them. Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 34. And this is the New Living Translation. Oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge. how impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and his ways. Can you just be honest today and say, Lord, I just don't understand why you did it like that. Amen. Anybody, God ever done something in your life and it wasn't the way you thought it should be done? Right. Yeah, it wasn't the way you wanted it done? And God did it a totally different way. And you today with me can say, Lord, I just don't understand why you did it that way. But look what verse 34 says. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give him advice? I don't. Sometimes I like to think I can tell God how to do it, but you know what? That's no good. You know, Job thought even he knew it all. You know, but God says, well, who are you? Did you create the earth? You know, did you put the beast, the behemoth beast in the ocean? Do you make the sun rise and the moon set? You know, as much knowledge as we have about the rising of the sun and the rising of the moon and the seasons that follow each and every one, we don't know how to put them up there, do we? Man has yet to figure out how to put a sun in the sky or a moon, or how to make the stars hang in the universe. So who can know his thoughts? Who knows enough to give him advice? So you know what that tells me? That tells me God knows everything. That's how much God knows. Here's the second answer to that. What does God know? He doesn't just know everything. Come on. But he knows more than you. You know, I think sometimes, we like to brag, well, I know more than this guy does. You know, I could do a better job than that because I know how to do that better than this person over here. You know, we find ourselves going into a store or maybe on a job site and somebody else is doing something that we know we can do better. I'll be honest with you, Matt. I don't know much about fishing like you do. Sometimes I wish I knew more than you, but you amaze me. But you know what, friends? That's okay. God knows more than us. God knows everything. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. Look what the writer of Isaiah said. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Here it is. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts. Can I just be honest, friends? God knows more than you know. And he knows. He knows that if you're going through something, he knows how to get you out of that something. He knows how to bring you through a storm. He knows how to bring you through some choppy waves in the ocean. He knows how to do all things because he's God. Woodrow Knoll, in a quote, he said, the God who knows you best knows the best for you. Can I say that again? The God who knows you best knows the best for you. You see, God doesn't just know what's best. He knows what's best for you. He knows how to work things out in your life. He knows how to deal with issues in your life. He knows how to bring you through storms. He knows how to bring you safely to the other side. He knows how to get you through a hurricane. Amen. Because he's bigger than you. His thoughts and knowledge is higher than yours. Well, let's ask this question today. This is an interesting question. What does God not know? Can I give y'all a pencil and a paper and y'all tell me what God doesn't know today? What does God not know if he knows everything? Is there anything that God doesn't know that he can't do? Micah Maddox, in an article titled, Five Things God Doesn't Know. And here's the five things that Micah Maddox said in his article about things that God doesn't know. First of all, God doesn't know a person he does not love. Can I tell you, God loves everybody, friends? What's that great scripture, that famous scripture, for God so loved the world, John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, right? That whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. What does that mean? That means God loves everybody, doesn't he? God is love. And to know God is to know love. God loves everybody. There's nobody God doesn't love. So God doesn't know a person because you know who created people? God did. Even people that have done wicked things throughout the universe and throughout the ages, God created them. Maybe they turned their back on God and so he used them to fulfill another purpose, but God loves everybody. Right? John 3:16, he loves everybody. Here's the second thing that Micah said in his article, five things God doesn't know. God doesn't know a soul he can't save. You know, if he loves everybody, then he wishes what? That none should perish, right? That all should come to repentance. If you ever read, you know, you read John 3:16, but do you ever read verse 17? For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He loves the world, and so he sent his Son to save the world, right?
Amen.
There's nobody God doesn't love and nobody that God cannot save. You know, friends, there's been some pretty hard cases in the world that God has turned their lives completely around. And they have become some of the greatest instruments for the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Maybe you know some people you think, well, man, they'll never get saved. They're so evil. They're so full of anger and hate. But you know, let them meet a righteous, holy God.
Yeah.
Let them have a dream about God, a vision. Let them have an encounter with God. That's what God's doing around the world. People are having visions and dreams and encounters with God, and it's changing them. So God doesn't know a person he does not love. Micah said God doesn't know a soul he cannot save. Number three, God doesn't know a heart he cannot see. You remember when Samuel was going to anoint the next king after Saul? You remember he looked through all of Jesse's sons in 1 Samuel? And he called them and he looked at their height, their stature, and said, surely this is the man that God has anointed to be king. And God said, no, that's not the one. And so Jesse called in all of his sons. And God denied every one of them. And Samuel says, well, is there one more? He says, yeah, I've got my youngest son. He's out tending the sheep. Samuel said, well, bring him in. We can't leave here today until we have seen him and recognized who he is. But look what the Lord said to Samuel. He said, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature or how big he is, because I've rejected him. Talk about the other sons. For the Lord sees not as man sees. The man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. You see, friends, God sees a heart. When he sees you, he sees a heart that he loves, a heart that he can save, a heart that he can use. He sees people's hearts. Micah goes on to say in the five things God doesn't know, a person he does not love, a soul he cannot save, a heart he cannot see. He also sees a wound he cannot heal. Psalm 147:3 says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. You know, God sees your hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And friends, there's not a hurt that God can't mend and repair.
Yeah.
You're not too far gone. You're not too sick. God can bring people back from their deathbed. God can do anything because there's not a wound he cannot heal. And then last of all, there's not a life he cannot change. God can change people. Matter of fact, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The Living Bible says it this way. When someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He is not the same anymore. A new life has begun. Your friends, God is in the life-changing business, isn't he? And there's not a life he cannot change. Maybe that's, you know, reaching out there, but that's true, isn't it? There's not somebody, there's not a person God cannot love, a person God cannot save. There's not a heart that he cannot see, a wound he cannot heal, and a life he cannot change. But I want to throw one more out there to you today that I see today as well. Something God cannot do, and it's God cannot sin. But also, God cannot remember forgiven sin. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 33 through 34. The prophet said this. He says, and he's talking about he's foreseeing the new covenant, the coming of Jesus Christ, when Jesus would come and give his life on the cross as an atonement for sin. Because in the Old Testament, all they had was a sacrificial system and the laws and, you know, the blood of bulls and goats and heifers and doves and all the things they brought. That couldn't really satisfy the salvation of people. Because what did they find out? People kept sinning, didn't they? Even after sacrifices were made. But look what Jeremiah says. He says, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them and write it in their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. And look what he says. For I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. You know what happens when you come under the blood of Jesus and you confess your sins? The Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins. You know what he doesn't do? He doesn't keep reminding you of your sins. That's the enemy's job. The enemy keeps bringing condemnation on you and making you feel like that sin is still there and you haven't got it completely out of your life. But the Bible tells us, Paul tells us in Romans, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, right? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So if we confess our sins, he's faithful just to forgive us of our sins and to forget our sins. If you want to keep reminding God of your sins, then you go right ahead. But God's forgiven them, and he's forgotten them. So quit bringing them up. Quit living in the past of defeat and start living in the presence of victory. Amen? God is for you, not against you, friends. Amen? If you've forgiven, you're forgiven. There's an old song, I think it was the Imperials, used to sing, I'm forgiven, now I have a reason for living. Jesus keeps giving and giving. Giving till my heart overflows. See, God forgives us. God forgives our sins and he remembers them no more. Today, I just want, maybe somebody needs that today. If you've confessed your sins, you're forgiven. So let them be the past. Move forward in what God has for us today. If you need to confess the sin, confess it. But just know that if you confess it, God is faithful and just to forgive it and to cleanse you. You see, God loves you, friends. And God doesn't remember your sins. So here's my last question, Dave. Matt, can I just have you come on up today? What do we know about God? Or what does God know? He knows everything, right? He knows more than you. What does he not know? Well, we just gave you five things that one writer said he doesn't know, and then I give you another thing, that God doesn't remember your sins. But here's my last question to you today. What does God know about you? What does God know about you? You know, last week I told you that if you was to go to a dictionary, the Bible would tell you that omniscience means that God knows everything, right? But if you go to the Bible doesn't just tell us that God knows everything. The Bible tells us that God knows you. You see, the Bible is a story. It's a story about, yeah, it's a story about the kingdom of God and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but it's also a story that God wants you to fit into. It's a story that's been written for you, and we are privileged to live out this story in our day and time. There's people that have gone before us that have lived out their stories. There's going to be people that come after us if the Lord waits to come back that's going to write their stories and live in the story of God, and hopefully that's the story they live in. There was an author, unknown, that said this. Said, what God knows about me is infinitely more important than what others think about me. Can I say that again? What God knows about me is infinitely more important than what others think about me. No, friends, it's not about what other people say or think. It's about what God knows. And friends, can I tell you, God loves you today. God loves you with an unfailing, an unending, and a dying love. He can't love you any more than he loves you right now, because his love's the greatest. He can't know you any more than what he knows of you right now. You say, well, what does God know about me? Look what the psalmist said in Psalms chapter 139, beginning in verse 1 to about verse 6. The psalmist says, oh Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel. I'm so thankful for that. And you see me when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. So what does God know about you? He knows everything about you, doesn't he? He knows when you get up in the morning. He knows when you lay down at night to go to sleep. He knows the thoughts you think, the dreams you dream. He knows where you're at, where you're going. He knows you if you're on the highest mountain or in the lowest parts of the sea. You see, God knows everything about you. He knows everywhere you're at. You know, to be honest with you, I'm a homebody. My wife will tell you that. I love to be home. I mean, I enjoy traveling, but I can't wait to get home either. And sometimes I get a little, and I know you should, but I get a little anxious when I'm away from home in a place that it's going to take me a while to get back home. You know, when you're out in the middle of an ocean in a boat, it's not like you can jump off that boat and get home. And they're probably not going to send a helicopter for you. And I'll be honest with you, I was getting on that boat Monday, and I was dealing with some things because we had some things with our church, and I was becoming anxious. And I was like, you know, I think I don't even want to be here. I just need to get off this boat. I really didn't want to, but that's just how things sometimes work on you. But it's in those moments when you're dealing with things that you just go to the Lord in prayer. Say, God, you've got this. You're my peace. You've broken down every wall. I'm not going to be defeated. I'm not going to let the devil make me feel this way. I've come here to enjoy this time, and I'm going to spend it with my wife and my friends. And I'm going to enjoy this moment of rest. And I'll be at it. Had some great conversations with people that I know. Got to visit with other pastors who are walking through difficult seasons in their lives. We're not the only one, friends. And I just believe that God makes those connections. But we let God do what He knows to do. Can I give you one more story here out of Genesis chapter 16? You remember when Sarah and Abraham were having a hard time having a child? Sarah kind of took matters into her own hands and gave Abraham her concubine, her servant girl named Hagar, who was from Egypt. She says in verse 2, Sarah said to Abel, "The Lord has prevented me from having children, so go and sleep with my servant girl." That wasn't God's plan, but it was her plan. She said, "Perhaps I can have children through her," because they have had a child. And, you know, Sarah now is probably, what, in her 70s? So Abel agreed with Sarai's proposal, and Sarai, Abel's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian servant, and gave her to Abel as a wife. This happened 10 years after Abram had settled in the land of Canaan. So he's about 86 years of age now. Abram had relations with Hagar. She became pregnant. But when Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress Sarai with contempt. Sarai said to Abram, "This is your fault now. I put my servant in your arms, and now she's pregnant. She treats me with contempt. The Lord will show who's wrong, you or me." Because Abram said, "Hey, this was your plan." So Abram replied, "Look, she's your servant. You deal with her as you see fit." So Sarai treated Hagar so harshly that she finally ran away. The Bible says in verse 7, "The angel of the Lord found Hagar beside a spring of water in the wilderness along the road to Shur. And the angel said to her, 'Hagar, Sarai's servant, where have you come from? And where are you going?'" I think that right there, we can stop and preach on that right there, right? Where have you come from? Where have you come from? We've all come from different places. But if we'll be honest, we've all come from sinful lifestyles at some point. Because at some point, we all had to confess our sins and draw near to God, right? "But where are you going?" She said, "I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai," she replied. The angel of the Lord said to her, to Hagar, "Return to your mistress and submit to her authority." Then he added, "I will give you more descendants than you can count." And the angel also said, "You are now pregnant and will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Ishmael." You know what Ishmael means? It means God hears. "For the Lord has heard your cry of distress. This son of yours will be a wild man, as untamed as a wild donkey. He will raise his fist against everyone, and everyone will be against him. And yes, he will live in open hostility against all his relatives." Therefore, Hagar used another name. The only time this name is used in the Bible to refer to the Lord who had just spoken to her. She said, "You are the God who sees me. El Roi. For," she said, "have I truly seen the one who sees me?" Can I tell you, friends, God sees you. And God hears you. And I can just be honest with you today, if God sees and hears you, then that means God knows you. Because God can't know you if he doesn't see you or hear you. Can I just tell you today, friends, in closing, that God knows. He knows your past. Right? He knew where Hagar had come from. He said, Hagar, where'd you come from? These were rhetorical questions. They weren't for God's benefit. They were for hers. Where had you come from? He knew her past. You know, she really just didn't come from Abraham and Sarah, but she had actually come from Egypt. And some believe that maybe she was the king or the Pharaoh's daughter that God had given to Abraham as he left the land. He knew her past. He knows your past. Can I tell you? God knows where you've been. But not only does he know your past, he knows where you're at, your present. You see, God just didn't ask her, where did she come from? And he asked her another question, but he asked her in a moment where she was at. You know, where are you? She knew where she was at. He saw her right there in that moment of distress and sorrow and just not knowing what to do. You see, friends, God knows what to do when you don't know what to do. God knows how to answer your prayers when you don't know how to answer them. God knows how to turn your life around at a moment's notice when you don't know what to do, friends. Hagar was thinking, man, here I am with child. I have nowhere to go. I can't go back home. They won't have me. I can't go back to Abraham and Sarah. I am mistreated there. I've got this child. What am I going to do? How am I going to survive? But God comes to you in your moments of need. He knows your past. He knows your present. But God also knows your future, friends. Sarah, hey, Hagar, where are you coming from? Where are you going? Where are you going today, church? Where are you going in your walk with the Lord? Where are you going in your relationship with the Lord? Can I tell you, friends, God sees you where you're at. He saw you where you came from. He sees you where you're at. And he knows where you need to go. Friends, I believe that God's getting us to the place he wants us to be. We're getting there. But you see, God knows everything about us today. God knows everything about you personally today. He saw you. He saw you when you were there, wallowing in your sin. He saw you when you were there, not knowing what to do or where to go. He sees you right now with your struggles. He sees you right now with your faithfulness. He sees you right now as you're trying to just live out your life and survive and walk through, make ends meet, surviving your family, provide a job and food for your kids. God sees where you're at. But you know what's even greater than that? God sees where you're going. God sees where he's leading you to. He told Hagar, you going back. You're going to have a son. His name is Ishmael. I hear you. That's what it means. God hears you. He's going to be a wild man, but he's going to have a mighty, he's going to have a mighty following, a mighty people, a nation. Aren't you thankful today that God knows you? Aren't you thankful God knows everything about you? He knows everything about everything. I want you to bow your heads with me this morning in closing. Maybe today you're struggling with what you think about God and what God thinks about you. And you think God doesn't care. He doesn't know. He doesn't understand. I've asked him, I've talked to him, I've followed him, and I feel like I get no answers. But I'm here to tell you, friends, that his ways are higher than your ways. His thoughts are greater than your thoughts. And the thoughts that God thinks about you are good, Jeremiah said, to give you a future and hope. God has great plans for you today. And you just have to be willing to follow those plans. Can I just encourage you, don't do it your way. Do it his way. If that's you today, just do it his way. Say, Lord, I'm tired of wandering. I'm tired of making mistakes. I'm tired of missing the mark. I'm just tired and I want to give up. And if I could just jump off this boat to the middle of the ocean, it would all be okay. Well, then you got a lot of other problems to deal with. Because it's not time to jump boat. It's time to set sail. It's time to move forward in what God has for us next. Father, I thank you today. I thank you. you for all the knowledge that you have, Lord. Thank you for knowing me, Lord. Thank you for seeing me and hearing me. Thank you for being patient with me. Lord, I deserve so little. You have been so good to me and my family, Lord. And I'm so thankful that you know everything about me, Lord. From beginning, from before I was even in my mother's womb, you knew me, Lord. You ordained every day of my life. And I'm just walking out your plan and your life for me. Lord, I just honor you today. Maybe somebody's here today, Lord, that just needs to know that you know them. You care about them. You love them. And you want to fulfill your purpose in them today. Maybe you're here today with every hand bowed for just a moment. And maybe you just lift up that hand and say, Pastor, I'm just struggling with what I've done. I keep forgetting about what God knows. Today I just want to say, God, you know what you have for me. And I want to follow your plan. Anybody today can just raise a hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. Yeah. There's one. Anybody else? Just be honest. Just say, Lord, I want to know what you know. I want to follow what you know. I want to walk in your knowledge. Yes, there's another. Anybody else real quick? Been a Christian, you don't know it all. And God knows things that you don't. Father, I just thank you today for these that are here and for every hand that went up. Lord, you know their hearts, you know their desires. Father, you know the plans that you laid out for them. You know the thoughts you think for them. God, you know everything that they do, every place they go, every time they get up and every time they sit down. Lord, you know them and you love them. And you care for them, and you want to do for them above and beyond anything they can think or even imagine. So I pray that today that you would speak to their hearts. Speak to ours. If somebody's here today that needs to make that decision, change their heart for you, Lord. May they know that you love them. You only want to do them good. You're a good God. You're a faithful God. We bless you.